Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for your goodness to us, for the victory of Calvary, for a home in heaven, for the privilege to be about your business until we get there, for the many things that you allow us to enjoy, the ability to endure hardness as a good soldier, for the many blessings that you delight to shower upon us. For all these things, we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to turn, please, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 17 for context and go down to verse 21. Message this evening is entitled, Make Your Mark. Each one of those words you can put the emphasis on. Make, that means there is something for us to do. Your, meaning personal, not anybody else's mark, your mark. And the mark that we make and we leave is something that is permanent. And the little pencil at the end will make some sense when we get there. But follow along, please, as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, and we know what the therefore is there for, don't we? It's in light of all that has gone before and an introduction to what is to follow. It's a link. It's important. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're talking about missions, we're talking about anniversary, we're talking about purpose, we're talking about celebrating, we're talking about being challenged, we're talking about trying to keep awake after a big dinner when all the human bodily resources are engaged in some other part of the body other than the brain. But Lord willing, we will survive. Make your mark. Ambassadors of the King. And we begin in verse 17 deliberately because if we are not a new creature, then we can't do any of this. And because we are, we need to be doing all of this. In December 1814, William Carey's son, Felix, resigned from the missionary work to take up a diplomatic post as ambassador in Calcutta for the King of Burma. His parents would be proud, you would think. But his father, deeply distressed, wrote home saying, Felix is shriveled from a missionary into an ambassador. That's in the human sense. He was an ambassador for a civil government. We're talking about being ambassadors for the King of Kings. And that is far more important. Every believer is called by Christ to be a missionary, not in the sense of missionaries as we know them, and we understand that, I'm sure you know all that, but as one who is sent. We are all sent into the world that we live in. And as an ambassador, one who carries a message. We leave a mark wherever we go, and it ought to be a good mark, ought to be a reliable mark, ought to be a God-honoring mark. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you, said the Lord Jesus in John 20:21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We see that in verse 20. In the political sense, ambassadors we might think of as being jobs for the boys. This is not what we're talking about here. It's been said that an ambassador is a politician who did not get elected to office, but was given an office on condition that he leave the country. Go somewhere else. Get out of my road, is the idea. And we know that's not what the Lord means here, and the Apostle Paul is certainly not saying that to us. But an ambassador was a personal messenger with a personal message sent on a mission to declare the message from the one who sent him. In the Roman Empire, Rome usually sent ambassadors to an outer province where there were problems, where there were difficulties, where there was an uprising, where there was instability. When everything was peaceful and everything was in order, there's no need for an ambassador to go there. So Rome wouldn't bother because resources are far-flung. Roman Empire is gigantic. But this is exactly what we see in our day, is it not? We are ambassadors in a hostile place where our sovereign, our king, is not regarded. His voice is not heard. He is not heeded. He's minimised. He's even written out of our history. And Australia has a wonderful, strong Christian heritage. And you wouldn't know that from listening to what the world tells us about Christianity. But as Christ's ambassadors, we're in a world in rebellion against him, and we are not popular. We are not welcome in lots of places. But the Lord's put us here to make a mark, to leave a mark. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, we read that we were enemies of God at one time, fighting against him, but we are reconciled to him now as a Christian. And if you're here and you're a Christian, you have been reconciled. You are a child of the King. You are an ambassador in his service. And then it just depends what sort of service we offer, because ambassadors we are. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, we talk about the carnal mind being enmity against God. Excuse me, verse 7. One who is opposed to God formerly, but not anymore. Through the sacrifice of Christ, God has reconciled men to himself. But the world doesn't want to hear that. The world doesn't want to know that. Our flesh, our old nature rebels against it. Therefore, God has sent us as ambassadors with a message that the world needs to hear. So as we see the qualities that we need here and we see the work, we learn of our purpose and we learn of the world that the Lord has left us to be ambassadors in. So firstly, we need to recognise, and that's what verse 17 was all about, we need to be a citizen of the country that we represent. If you're not a Christian, how can you represent Christ? How can you leave a mark for the Lord if you don't know him? You might have grown up in church. You might know all about it. I've been around long enough to know. And in church years ago, we had people that made professions of faith. And then when push came to shove, they found that they weren't a believer. And then they turned to Christ as Saviour and became a child of God. So if that describes anybody here, don't be embarrassed about that. You should be glad that you have an opportunity to put that right. Because you cannot represent someone that you do not know and one that you are passionately in love with. Because it will be a weak profession, will it not? And the Lord deserves more than a weak profession. We don't belong to the old life anymore. This was one of the first verses that was pointed out to me when I became a Christian, that I was a new creature and that old things are passed away, and there was a lot of old rubbish that needed to be passed away. He does some of it and he leaves some of it to us. We need to put this aside. We need to put on the new man. We need to put off the old, and no one else can do it for you. Hence the title, Make Your Mark. No one can do it for you. You need to do it yourself. You need to take responsibility for doing that yourself. There is an allegiance here. There is a place where assets are. There is a recognition of where you come from. There's aspirations of duty towards our homeland. And our homeland is not Metropolitan Baptist Church in Sydney, because our citizenship is already in heaven, is it not? Paul writes to the Philippians and he uses the word conversation. Peter uses that word and it's often talking about lifestyle, manner of living. But in Philippians there he talks about our conversation being in heaven. He's talking about citizenship. He's talking about the conduct of a citizen. And if you were a Roman and you didn't behave like a Roman, you were ashamed of yourself because you represented the most powerful empire that the world had seen in that day. And they were proud to be a Roman. They might never have gone there. They might never have lived there. They may have purchased at a great cost to themselves, but they were proud to be a Roman. We should be proud to be a Christian. And I'm not suggesting that you're not. You know that, don't you? We're friends here, aren't we? Amen. Amen. But our citizenship is in heaven, and if it is, then we can represent our Saviour. Then we see that the ambassador must be commissioned. We're talking here, local church. The Apostle Paul is talking to the believers in Corinth. And remember who they are? What sort of people are they? Super Christian, model believers? Not really. They had more problems than you could imagine. That if Metro had the problems that these people had, you would say, I'm out of here tomorrow. This is impossible. These people are infuriating. How can you get on with all of this? And the gross immorality that everybody's saying, it's okay, it's all right. And they knew in their heart it wasn't all right. They were carnal, they were babes, they were immature, and they were ambassadors. God had called them. Aren't you glad he doesn't wait till we're perfect before he uses us? Because if he had to wait that long, there'd be nobody doing anything. There'd be no pastors willing to put their hand up and saying, I will commit to this even though I don't really get it, I don't understand it, and I don't know how to do it. But I'm learning on the way, one day at a time, as God enables. And the Holy Spirit gives wisdom and leading and encouragement and filling. And he doesn't wait till we're finished before he starts. So we're working. We're all a work in progress. We mentioned this the other day, didn't we? We're all a construction site. Every one of us, the Lord is building, he's working on, he's working his gifts in us that we might be a blessing to everyone else. And then he prunes and whittles and builds and realigns and fixes the stuff that's not right. And I'm glad we read in Isaiah that the smoking flax, he doesn't just regard the bruised reed, he doesn't just throw away. He fixes it and he repairs it and he uses it again, even though it's less than perfect. John 20, 21, peace be unto you, as my Father hath given you. The light's put pretty poor and my eyesight's not what it used to be, so excuse me. And he says, even so send I you, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So every Christian is an ambassador. We are that because the Lord has made us that. And what a privilege it is to be that. It's not an earned thing. It's not something that we would have because of our ability. But God says, this is who you are because you belong to me. And I'm sending you to a hostile world where there is rebellion, there is insurrection, there is immorality, there are the grossest of things that you could imagine. And this is where I want to be represented by you. Just you. The person next to you might go to some other place and be my representative there. But he's put you exactly where he wants you to be to represent him in the world that he has put us in. And Metro's privileged to send missionaries to the four corners of the world. And you support them and you love them and you pray for them. And they're counting on you to be doing what you're doing here so they can do what they're doing over there. We'll talk a bit about that tomorrow. You and I are God's ambassadors of peace. God has not declared war on the world. He has declared peace on the world. When the Lord Jesus came as the babe of Bethlehem, the heralding of the message was that there is peace on earth. There is light to even the Gentiles. The Jews thought it was just for them. Said a light to the Gentiles. Lovely thing that God would care about those that have no care for him. And only peace comes from God doing his business. Satan has declared war on the church. We looked at that on Friday night. And the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Even though it might look like it sometimes that the wicked one has an upper hand, and we get discouraged and we get overwhelmed when we ought not, because we lose perspective sometimes, don't we? That's human nature. We're like that. And we wonder at the glory of God, and it sort of gets a little bit dim from time to time. And we need to be revived. We need to get together. We need to encourage one another, because we are all ambassadors in a hostile world. Not every believer is called to full-time service, but every believer is called to full-time Christian living. Amen. That's not optional. That's who we are. And we just need to be the best person that we are, that God enables us to be. Ambassadors are not out there on their own. They're not their own man. They represent someone else. They don't have the luxury of doing the things always that they want to do. We sometimes have to do things we don't like doing. I'm sure if you ask missionaries whether they like being out in some jungle infested with cockroaches and terrible sanitation and depriving their children of reasonable education that we all take for granted, I'm sure they would say, I'm not enjoying this. This is not fair and it's not right, but it's for the glory of God, and I love to do it, because God called them there to be an ambassador in that place. So we're called to full-time Christian living, no matter where we are, no matter who we are. And people will form their opinions about who God is when they look at us. They look at you, they look at me, they look at our life, they look at our testimony, and they say, you represent, this is your God. This is who you serve, this is who you love. This is who you want me to forsake my old life that I'm really enjoying the fruit of, and give all that away and become a new creature for what? So they need to see something of God in us, don't they? They need to see the Lord in us as his ambassadors, as his people, as a church, as an entity, and then as individual components of that, working together with one another, working together with the Lord. If he were to send some angels to do the job, it would probably get done much quicker and much better and with less complaining than sending us. But he's chosen to send us, chosen to send you. He's chosen to put you here at Metropolitan Baptist Church in 2024. And some of you were, how many were here in the beginning when Metro was founded? So we're all new, right? And what a good thing that the work goes on. And some have gone on to be in heaven and some have fallen by the wayside perhaps. And that's the human life that we have, and that's the world that we live in, and that's the world that we are to be ambassadors to encourage one another and to look back on those that have gone before us. Sometimes, because Liz and I still speak Hungarian to each other, and we're in a shop or in some sort of setting in town, and we hear some Hungarian conversation criticising somebody or being abusive to a shopkeeper, and they think they're talking and nobody knows what they're saying. And when you find yourself in that condition, you sometimes say things you ought not to say, and it's embarrassing. But we feel ashamed that they are the same as we are and they're behaving in such a poor manner. And people don't even know, thankfully, that they're Hungarian, and they don't know that we are, but we know. And the Lord knows everything about every one of us and the marks that we leave and the things we do and the things we say we will and the things we don't. And he is keeping a record. So we need to be ambassadors that understand all these things. And then thirdly, we need to understand that ambassadors must represent their ruler. We represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the one who became sin for us. And he says, be reconciled unto God. Ambassadors with a message, ambassadors that are privileged. Ambassadors don't allow personal interests to get in their way because they are on duty 24/7. You don't put the robe on when you walk out of the house. You're an ambassador all the time. Wherever you go, whatever you do, people are looking. The Lord is looking. And when the messenger becomes more important than the message, you have the makings of a cult. People start worshipping the individual. I know you love your pastor and you put him on a bit of a pedestal, not so that you can see his weakness, but so that he has a better view. That's why he belongs up there, because the view is more comprehensive. And it's not to look down on you, and it's not for you to idolize him. And I know you don't do that, but it happens in some places, doesn't it? The man becomes so important and the ministry, so-called, becomes so important, and the Lord is sort of off to the side somewhere because all these other things become prominent. That should never be in the Christian ambassador's place to do that. And we ought not to use liberty as an occasion for the flesh. We're told that in Galatians chapter 5. We represent our King 24/7, constantly. And we ought to, as Romans 14 says, not in a way that would become a stumbling block to others. So easy to become a stumbling block. That idea, you know, that means to be scandalized by something. To be so outraged at this behavior that you see, or this conduct, or this omission, or this breach of promise, that you say, no, had it, I'm gone. And people do that. And we scandalize one another with sometimes our poor behavior. Ambassador is always an ambassador. Does anybody know who David Hogg is? I would be surprised if anybody did. But perhaps David Hogg's only claim to fame is that he was a neighbour of the Livingston family in Scotland. And one day he said to young David, "Now, lad, make religion the everyday business of your life, not a thing of fits and starts." And then when he was a little boy in Sunday school, one day, you may know, he was given an award for having memorized Psalm 119, 176 verses, all but three referring to the Word of God in some form or another, some very close to the other verse, and he memorized that and he knew it off by heart. Because David Hogg, when he was a little boy, said, "No fits and starts, young lad, you represent the Saviour." And he took that personally all his life, and went to Africa, and was able to say that when God promised him that he would never leave him nor forsake him, and that he was with him always, lo, until the end of the world, he said, "That's the word of a gentleman, and that settles it for me." Amen. And he appeared in a meeting back in Scotland when he was giving report for his ministry, and the student body was a raucous welcome to the senior missionary, and after 16 years of having been in Africa, he hobbles onto the stage with a withered arm where a lion had mauled him, and the place was hushed in silence, recognizing that this was an ambassador of the King of Kings. All because David Hogg, when he was a little boy, said, "Lad, take it seriously." So the influence that we can be with what would seem to be an idle conversation, to your neighbour, to somebody you might know just in passing casually, someone that sits on the other side of the church building on Sunday and you don't often get to talk to, be an encouragement to them, be a blessing. We are ambassadors not just to the lost out there, but to one another as well. We represent the King of Kings. Then we see that the ambassador has all his needs provided for. And what a lovely thing that is. We were saved in 1981, Liz and I, at the age of 33. And we believe the Lord called us to Bible College in Melbourne, and we arrived in 1985. We'd lived on a property off the grid. We had no electrical appliances. We had a few battery-operated things and $1,000 in our pocket, and that was more than what the rent and the bond was for the first month. And we arrived in Melbourne, we knew one family. and a family in the church we were attending at Croydon Baptist Church at the time, and it exists no more. It never got to be 50, sadly. There was a family there who had a removal business, and people gave Emmanuel stuff. He had a house full of stuff. You wouldn't believe the stuff he had, from tents to toasters and everything in between. And he said, "What do you need?" And we said, "Well, we don't have anything. We need the lot." And he said, "Well, come with me." And he took us down to his basement, and he gave us a toaster and every appliance that you can plug in that we didn't have, he gave us, because he was told to come and collect stuff and take it to the tip. And he asked the people, "Well, can I keep it and give it to somebody else?" And they said, "Do what you want with it." So he was a representative of the King of Kings, collecting other people's junk and stuff that they wanted to throw out, so that he could invite people that were green as grass, coming out of the bush, living in Melbourne, and they could pick the toaster they want and the kettle and the heater. And we nearly froze in Melbourne the first year we were there. And he gave us all this stuff because Emmanuel was an ambassador for Christ. And he used him to supply our need when the Lord knew what we needed. And so many things I could say about all of that, that I would love to, and perhaps at another time. But in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, which the Lord used in confirming his call upon our life, we read, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." We belong to the Lord. He knows what we need. And he knows what we needed last week, and he knows what we're going to need next week, because it's all the same to him. And he has the resources, he has the wealth in every mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is not in need of anything. But he says, "Would you give?" And we're going to talk about that tomorrow as well. Because the money that's in your pocket and mine belongs to him. Our gifts and talents belong to him. Our family, our church, everything that we have belongs to him. We have the privilege of being a little caretaker of it for a little while, don't we? And we need to leave a good mark on what the Lord's blessed us with to keep and to look after. And church, and you've got a church building and some renovations and a manse and lovely things that God's given, and you're stewards of all of that so that you can be a good ambassador of what God has done in your life. That's part of our 50th celebration that we want to remember and magnify the Lord in doing that. And then lastly, we see that ambassadors are called home before the conflict. We see this in every human government when there's tension between countries. What one of the first things that the government does, brings the ambassador home, says, "You don't need to be there. We need these people to understand that you don't belong here. We don't belong here. We object to what they're doing. So come on home." What a lovely picture of the rapture, is it not? Amen. When the Lord's finished with us and judgment will fall, and it will, and he says, "I've not appointed you to wrath." Amen. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, lovely chapter, gorgeous things. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where in the twinkling of an eye, the dead shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air, because we're done, we're finished. Mark-making time is over. Lovely picture of all of that when we see the Lord convicting the world of sin in Noah's life for 120 years. He's building this enormous boat, can you imagine? And he's a preacher of righteousness, and for 120 years people mocked him. They might mock you in your workplace or in your family. And then the Lord said, "It's going to rain one day," and Noah told everybody it's going to rain, and they said, "What's that?" Well, they should come to Sydney for camp, shouldn't they? But before it started to rain, the ark was built, and we read that the door was open. For 7 days, the door was open. And the preaching was there, the opportunity was there. And then when the day came, the hand of God closed the door. And it's going to rain. And the boat's going to float. And the 8 people on it entered into a new world a year later when the waters went down. And we're going to enter into a new world one day.
Amen.
And it could be through death, or it could be through His coming. I'm glad it's His choice.
Amen.
And He will do it in His time, in the way that would please Him. But in the meantime, we are here as His representatives. And God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He put His love on display on the most brutal, hideous invention of human cruelty that's imaginable, a crucifixion. He said, "This is my demonstration, my exhibition of love for a humanity that doesn't want to know anything about me." And He says, "This is what you represent. This is what you are in the world for until time is up." And none of us knows when that'll be. That lady that went to be with the Lord last night, her husband rang me today and asked me to do their funeral service. It'll be a privilege and an honour to have nearly 20 years ago led them to a knowledge of Christ, baptised them, discipled them. Every Friday night for 2 years we would have dinner with them and we'd open the book. And now is when time's up, time's up. And I'm glad that the Lord knows when that is for each one of us, and He has a purpose and He delights to use us in the meantime. So the hand of God in uncertain times and in difficulties, in a hostile place, which is the world we live in. He wants us to leave a mark. So the little pencil that you've got, it's just a little reminder for you of the camp, if you keep it or you lose it, or even these little object things that remind us of who we are and what we've done here. The story's told of a pencil maker. I don't know if you've heard the story of the pencil maker. And just before he was going to put his pencil in the little pencil box with all the other pencils and send it off to be used, he tells the pencil 5 lessons about themselves. And the first point that he made to the pencil was that everything you do will always leave a mark. Everything you do will always leave a mark. We might not know the mark. We might not recognize it. It might be in a different language, might be in a different form. But God recognizes it, and sometimes people do as well. But we will leave a mark. We will always leave a mark with everything we do. The life's influence, the things we say, the little comment from David Hogg to the Livingston little boy, who would later become a missionary that would reach half of Africa. It was a mark that was left. Then secondly, he said, you can always correct the mistakes you make. It's not ink. Can be corrected. Our failures are not permanent. They're not forever. The only thing that is a rejection of Christ, where you would say no to His offer of salvation. If you enter into eternity having said that and never repented of that, then you will have condemned yourself to an eternity in the lake of fire. It's not God who puts you there. People put themselves there. So you can always correct mistakes you've made. And who would say, I've never made a mistake? There's not any of us bold enough to say that. And then thirdly, what is important is what's inside of you. It's not the wood. It's a little bit of lead in the middle. And it's protected and nurtured and made useful. Otherwise, it wouldn't function by itself. The Lord does that to us individually and collectively. That's what church is. It's like that fabric that binds us all together that we might do things for the glory of God. What's important is what's inside you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
And then fourthly, in life you will undergo painful sharpenings, which will only make you better. You might find the point on that pencil doesn't work too well, or the bit of wax coating on it doesn't allow you to write properly, so whittle on it, fine-tune it, make it personal. When we were kids, we used to take a little pocket knife and take a little bit of the wood off the end where you could write your name. Anybody remember doing that? A few of you, yeah. Most people don't know what a pencil is anymore. Everything's on the keyboard, right? You can't whittle away on a keyboard. But on that little pencil, if you don't like the name on it, you can even take that bit off and put your name there. And just remember that you're leaving a mark and that the Lord's got to sharpen you. And the Lord will use others to sharpen you as iron sharpening iron. As we rub against each other, not to rub each other up the wrong way, but to rub each other to the point where we become shiny and we become sharp and we become useful and we become lovely. And that's what the ambassador is supposed to be to a world that even would deny us and reject us. And then lastly, he said to the pencil, the best pencil that you can be, you need to allow yourself to be held by the hand that wants to use you. Amen. And that's his business. And he has done with Metro for 50 years what has been his pleasure. And you've endured the things you've had to endure for your good. And he's whittled on you and sharpened you and made you who you are today for his glory. And what a lovely thing that is. We need constant sharpening. As soon as you use this, as soon as you make a mark, it's not what it used to be. And you need to refine it. You need to let the Lord work on you. Because he's not finished with any of us. And I'm glad that he is the sharpener and he is the user and he is the one who knows what he wants to do with us. So never allow yourself to get discouraged and thinking that your life is insignificant. It's only a little pencil. I could have got a big one. Would be a bit more spectacular, but this will fit into your small pocket or your little handbag. And you can have it with you all the time. And just remember that while we might think of ourselves as insignificant, we have an ability to make a mark in a world. Amen. That will result in somebody walking on that gold footpath with us one day. Amen. That's worth doing. Amen. Always remember that the most important part of you is what's inside. And allow the Lord to guide you and use you as you make yourself available to fit into his gracious and loving and all-powerful and great hand. Let's pray.